We have another reading from Luke chapter 2. We're reading verses 8 to 20. The shepherds go to the manger. So we start to read Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they'd seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marvelled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. As we've traced the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ through the prophecies of the Old Testament, through the facts of Luke's Gospel, that passage I've just read, shepherds tending their flocks, keeping watch over them by night, then the angel of the Lord appears and announces to them the birth of Jesus Christ. And then we have that heavenly choir singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." It's the climactic moment, really, in the birth of Jesus Christ, when the angels announce that the one to be born, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus the Saviour. And I want us to look at the landscape along the way, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to notice some of what we might term the upside down values of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So let's think for a moment of the nature of the kingdom of God. Who was this news given to first? Not to kings sitting on thrones, not to generals at the head of armies, not to philosophers studying logic, but the angels were sent to shepherds. The good news, God reconciling the world to himself in Jesus Christ. The message was sent to shepherds that God so loved the world that he was now giving his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Jesus Christ should not perish but have everlasting life. That message first broadcast to shepherds. Didn't make headline news in the great cities of the world. The stock markets didn't stop trading. People weren't awoken from their beds. Some of you can remember important events in your time, and you can remember exactly where you were when they happened. Some of you can remember the death of Princess Diana, for example. I can remember exactly where I was when that news broke. Some of you can remember the day of the Twin Towers and when they fell on 9/11. And you remember where you were when you first start hearing that news. But on this moment in human history, God the Creator stepping into this world, the mass of the world's population didn't say we can all remember where we were on that day. But a handful of rough shepherds, they were the ones to whom this message came. And I'm saying that's astonishing because we need to think just for a moment at the status of a shepherd in the days of Jesus. shepherds were thought to be untrustworthy, on a par with tax collectors. The rabbis prohibited devout Jews from buying wool, milk, or meat from shepherds, because the assumption was the shepherds would have stolen the property. Shepherds were considered so untrustworthy that their evidence was not admissible in courts of law. So unclean, undesirable shepherds. Mothers growing up would have been told, mothers, don't let your baby, when he grows up, don't let him become a shepherd. And yet it was to shepherds that the message came. Given how they felt about shepherds, the rabbis had wrestled with passages like Psalm 23 that declares that the Lord himself is our shepherd. How can that be? God, a shepherd. Why was the announcement of Jesus Christ first given to shepherds then? Well, because the Lord is a shepherd. And when God comes into this world in the person of Jesus Christ, he comes for his flock who trust him, and he leads them to green pastures and beside still waters. The Lord Jesus Christ, the announcement made in shepherd country, Israel's greatest king, from whom the Messiah would descend, King David. David himself, before he was a king, would have been a shepherd tending sheep in fields like the fields where the shepherds were that night. So the message, not to the high and mighty, not to the wise and the elite, not to the sophisticated and the aristocratic, but to shepherds. Jesus, the shepherd king, coming for men like this, shepherds tending their flocks by night. And the message for us then, that the kingdom of God comes to us this morning as sinful men and women, not as righteous all-stars, not the high and mighty. Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's the coming of the kingdom of God then. King Jesus, the shepherd king, comes for sinners. Jesus' birth announced to shepherds, not for those who thought they were righteous, not the elite, but the outcast and the stranger, those in need of a saviour. And the shepherds were close enough to Bethlehem. When they heard the news, they dropped everything, travelled right then to see this newborn Jesus. Probably these were the shepherds who tended to the flocks of the Jerusalem priests. They could see Bethlehem. It was on a hill about 6 miles southeast of where they were. And they had a special task, these shepherds, that when people came to the temple in Jerusalem to offer a sacrifice for sin, if you were well off, you would bring a lamb without spot or blemish. If you didn't have a sacrifice, you could buy one from the temple, and the shepherds would provide the lambs. And they had this task then. When a lamb was being born, the shepherds would carefully assist with the birth of the lamb. And the lamb would not touch the ground until the shepherds had cleaned it and examined it. If it had a spot, if it had a defect, they would put it on the ground and the lamb would mix with the other lambs. It wasn't suitable for a sacrifice. If it had a spot, if it had a blemish, only the best could be offered to God. But if the lamb was spotless, perfect, then the shepherds would make sure the lamb didn't get hurt in any way. No blemish, no cut, no wound, no bruise. They make sure it was kept spotless until it was sacrificed. And to make sure, what would the shepherds do? They would wrap the lamb's feet with swaddling cloths, so that as the lambs would touch the ground, no dirt, no cuts, no bruises. So that when the shepherds came to that stable or cave where Jesus was laid in a manger, and they saw Jesus wrapped in swaddling cloths, the same cloths they would have used to cover spotless lambs to prevent them getting blemishes, they understood, this is the Lamb of God. This is the one who's come to make a sacrifice for sin, a final sacrifice for sin, so that we can be forgiven, He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Lamb of God who means that by faith in him, you can have a right relationship with God. So the Bible tells you this morning, you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The nature of the kingdom of God then, Jesus comes for sinners. Secondly, the joy of the kingdom of God. It's the middle of the night. The shepherds were watching the watches, we're told. They're in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. The shepherds had divided the night into watches. They were taking it in turns to watch over the sheep. Some shepherds were awake, watching the flock. Some shepherds were asleep. One or two shepherds tending the flock then, just the sounds of the odd bleating of a sheep. And then suddenly, as if someone switched on massive floodlights, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Most of us don't like being woken suddenly from sleep. I'm not a fun person to be around if I'm woken suddenly from sleep. How terrifying it must have been for those shepherds. You might have been able to hear them cry out from a distance. Luke says they were greatly afraid. And there's a sense in which, of course, they were right to be greatly afraid. Sinful men and women in the presence of the glory of God. The shepherds were thinking, perhaps, is this judgment day? And at least some of them must have thought, has judgment day come? They felt like the prophet Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. We heard of Isaiah the prophet speaking 700 years before Jesus was born of the coming of the one, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But when Isaiah the prophet saw the glory of God, Isaiah says, woe is me, for I'm unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And the shepherds were terrified as the glory of the holy, holy, holy Lord surrounded them. That's what always happens when we come into the presence of God. Our sin condemns us. God is holy, we are not. And in his presence, our sin condemns us. So the angelic preacher declares to the shepherds, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. At his second coming, Jesus Christ will come to judge the world. He'll come to those who have refused to trust him and his Saviour lordship. And unbelieving hearts on that day will have grounds to fear. But this was not that day, and it's not that day today. This is a gospel day. The angels are proclaiming that Jesus has come to drive out fear and bring joy, to drive out the fear of failure, that we don't find acceptance with God based on our merits or achievements. The one born to a virgin laid in a manger was the one who would be laid in the manger but would one day be nailed to the cross. That though we are sinners who have fallen short of the glory of God, Jesus Christ comes, the Saviour King, so that by faith in him and his atoning work on the cross, we can be forgiven and pardoned and accepted. And great fear then is driven out because Jesus Christ also brings liberation from the fear of condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So as these truths percolate into our minds this morning, by faith in Jesus Christ, do they ignite in your heart a spark of joy? That as you trust in Jesus Christ, God accepts you. As you trust in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. As you trust in Jesus Christ, you know God's just pardon. What a gift is given to the world in the giving of Jesus Christ, that by faith in him, we can come before God, not fearful and condemned, but with joy and forgiveness. The nature of the kingdom of God, it's announced to sinners. The joy of the kingdom of God, Jesus drives out fear and condemnation. And in him we have the joy of forgiveness of sins. And perhaps the most upside down nature of the kingdom of God, the most upside down nature of all, that the king, born in a stable, born in a cave. Luke says, this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. The one born in the city of David, the one who fulfilled Micah's prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. How will this mighty king be known to the shepherds? What would be the insignia of his majesty? How will they know that this is the king who's come to rule and reign and redeem his people? A baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, like the cloths they would have used to wrap the feet of newborn lambs, lying in a manger. Behold your God, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Here he is, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. The Lord of glory, upholding the universe, sleeping in a cattle trough. It's to show us this morning, this Saviour King is not beyond your reach. You see him lying in a manger, in a bed of straw. He stoops down. He comes to us in the gospel this morning. The omnipotent maker of heaven and earth, bound in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. That's a pattern as we read the gospels. It characterizes the entire life and ministry of Jesus Christ. The one who did not have a proper bed as a newborn baby. Jesus said in his earthly ministry, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So this one bound in common cloths of a nursing baby would be bound by cruel shackles as a criminal at his death because he would be made sin for us. The one heralded as the Son of David, laid in a manger, would be called the King of the Jews and nailed to the cross. So here's the greatest upside down value in the kingdom of God. This is how we can know joy and forgiveness. God becomes man. Jesus is put in a manger to sleep. The Lord and giver of life becomes a helpless child. And as a man, he's crucified, dead and buried. As the angel announces this extraordinary news to shepherds, it's no wonder then that the darkness is chased away and the angelic hosts cry out glory to God. Peter, in one of his letters in the New Testament, says that the wonders of the gospel are things that angels desire to look into. But the angels don't know the wonder of redeeming love. Jesus Christ didn't come into this world to save angels. He came to save guilty sinners like you and me. He came with a true body and a reasonable soul to be the perfect redeemer and saviour for lost sinners. So he comes to bring glory to God, peace to those who trust in him. Here's the birth of Jesus Christ then in the Bible. Peace to men and women through faith in Jesus Christ. This is why the Virgin conceived, bore a son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger. We live in a world that says to God, my will be done. Glory to me. The gospel announces in the coming of Jesus Christ, not glory to me, my will be done. But Jesus came into this world and said, at his birth, the angels announced glory to God. And Jesus was willing to go even to the cross of shame and lay down his life for us and for our sins. And Jesus said to God, thy will be done. And nails were pounded into his hands and feet, and thorns punctured his brow. But the cross means for a sinner this morning, it's possible to know peace with God. So the world tells you, glory to me. It's all about me. Jesus says, it's all about God. Glory to God. God's will be done. Because when we get wrapped up in the pursuit of our own glory, What that does is shatters our peace. Jesus surrendered his life to the cross in pursuit of God's glory, and he achieves peace for all who trust in him. There's no peace with God without Jesus Christ. But this great paradox, when you give up the pursuit of your own glory and your own will and your own pride and saying no to God, I live my life my own way. When you cease to fill your own horizon, instead you turn to Jesus Christ and you learn glory to God and you trust in Jesus Christ, then you find that peace comes. The prophet Micah, who had foretold that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, said that the Messiah who would be born would be our peace. And he's your peace this morning, if you put your trust in him. You pursue your own glory, your own self-will, your own pride, live my life for myself without God. Peace will be forever elusive. But when you trust in Jesus Christ, and you give God the glory, there's peace for you. Jesus came for shepherds, not for kings. For sinners, not for all-stars. Came not to bring terror, but to bring peace and joy. He came to make the guilty hearts of forgiven sinners sing. That he accomplished peace for us at the cross. That you can know forgiveness and exchange alienation from God with peace for God, peace with God. So we have great reason to thank God this morning, that God in Jesus Christ should become a man for us, for our salvation. Give us peace and joy, and that the Lord, in his grace, to all who call upon him in repentance and faith, experiences that peace of God, which only Jesus Christ can accomplish. Peace among those with whom God is pleased. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you this morning for this shepherd king, our Lord Jesus Christ, this one who has accomplished peace for us and for all who trust in him. Lord, we confess our sins, our pride, our self-will, our desire for self-glory. We humble ourselves before you and pray, Lord, that you will cleanse us, pardon, forgive. And we thank you that there is peace for us, peace with God, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved us, gave himself for us. What a wonder, this Saviour King. And we pray, Lord, that those who have never done so before might even today turn to him in repentance and faith and cry out for forgiveness and peace with God. And that every believer, thanking God for this Saviour King was born, may find this joy reignited in the heart, this Saviour King, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give us second birth. And so we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We sing as a closing hymn, our last hymn then, number 220 in the hymn books, this hymn about the shepherds. While shepherds watched their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around. Let's stand to sing this closing hymn, 220. You're welcome to stay behind at the end of the service, have a cup of coffee. If anyone would like to ask me anything about anything that I've said, or if you'd like to find out more about studying the Bible to understand what it means to be a Christian, please have a word with me at the end, and we'll gladly fit something together that will suit me and you so we can study the Bible and think more about what it means to be a Christian. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you, we thank you that in Jesus Christ, this Saviour King, there is a way for us to know forgiveness and peace. Christians rejoice, those who have never done so before. We pray that by the work of the Holy Spirit who convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment, will open eyes to see in Jesus Christ this promised Messiah, this promised King of glory, this Saviour born. We praise you for him, the one who is born Prince of Peace. Not unto us, and unto your great name, O Lord, be all the glory, praise, and honour. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us, and remain with each one of us, not only today, but even forevermore, world without end. Amen.